And I'm going to try to help you by the help of the Lord. Psalms chapter number 10. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thy face, or why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your help this morning. And God, you know you've laid this scripture on my heart. And God, I can't do this without you. And God, I'm burdened this morning. And Lord, I don't know what to say or what to do, but God, you know what your people stand in need of this morning. And God, as this has been on my thoughts and couldn't get away from it, God, there's not a doubt in my mind. Lord, there's somebody's here this morning needs to hear what thus saith the Lord. And God, I need your touch this morning. I need you to hide me behind the old rugged cross. Lord, I pray that you forgive me of all sins, anything that may stand in the way of this service. God, I pray that your mercy and your grace would abound greatly around us. And God, I pray for your touch and your presence amongst your children this morning. And God, I realize we're living in troublesome days. And Lord, I realize we're living in burdensome times and depressing times. But yet, God, we find ourselves many a times asking where you're at. Lord, I pray that we'd encourage your saint this morning. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. I found this very interesting in Psalms chapter number 10 this morning. If you'll look at Psalms chapter number 9 real quickly, David says this, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my heart, whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works." He comes into Psalms chapter number 10, Brother Chuck, and he says, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble?" I find it interesting, Brother Joe, in chapter number 9, David is singing the greatness and the psalms of the Lord. He is talking about his praise and his wonderful being, and he's talking about just how good God is. But yet, he comes into chapter number 10, and he has the sense that God is nowhere around. He has the sense in his heart that he is forsaken and by himself, and that God is not even hearing his prayers, and that God is not even close enough to touch his vexation that he's in. He comes into chapter number 11, and I'm going real quickly. He comes into chapter number 11 and verse number 1. He says, "In the Lord put I my trust." He says, through all of chapter number 10, it's behind us, but in chapter number 11, he says, "I'm going to put my trust in the Lord." He says, "How say ye to my soul, I flee as a bird to your mountain." I come into chapter number 13 and verse number 1, and David is yet crying again to God, How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever, how long wilt thou hide thy face from me? In chapter number 10 to chapter number 13, we see David trusting the Lord, but coming into chapter number 13, he's in the same situation he was in chapter number 10. And I found chapter number 10 to be very interesting this morning, being an Old Testament book and being a psalm of David. He begins to talk about the wicked, Brother Junior, and how they're against God, and how they don't believe in God, and how they curse with their lips and their mouth, and how they just live their life as they are. But in chapter 10, in verse number 1, David's not worried about the wicked. David is not worried about his brother. David is not worried about his home and Jesse in this morning. And David's not worried about Amnon and Absalom and Tamar. He's not even worried about Saul. David is strictly worried about his own condition. David feels like he's been forgot about. He feels like he's been cast to the side. He feels like the pearls of life are on him. And he feels like God has forsaken him. Coming out of chapter number 9, that would be hard to believe. Can I tell you this one? I'm going to help you real quickly. We all have our good days. We all have days where it seems like everything flows perfectly together. We all have days where it seems like God's goodness and His grace, and we feel like the spoiled brat of God, like God's being better to us than everybody else. But then we also have another chapter in our life where we feel like God ain't nowhere near us. And we often get to that place and we're discouraged and we're let down, and we begin to look at those that are around us. And David did this so great in chapter number 10. He looked in verse number 2. Look with me. He says, "The wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire, and blesseth the covetous whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked through pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not at all in his thoughts." Say amen. Amen. I believe you'd have to agree with me this morning. The wicked generation of this world don't think about God. I'm going to help you right now. There's a whole lot this morning laying at home in a recliner, Brother Paul. And they're just setting fire, going through life. And it didn't bother them when the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour took up this morning. And there's a lot over here on this street, Brother Chuck. One thing I like about our bell is it riles up all the dogs of Rhonda. Brother Charles can ring that bell, and I guarantee you those folks over there on Cemetery Street that ain't going to the church house really appreciates Brother Charles rallying them dogs up over there. It doesn't bother them when that church bell goes off. And David begins to look how wicked the people are. He begins to see just how far they've forgot God. But he looks into his own situation. He says, God, where are you at? God, where are you been? God, why are you so far off? And can I say something to you this morning from my whole heart? There's times in your life where you've done absolutely nothing wrong. You've lived your life exactly like you're supposed to. You've done everything according to the Word of God. You've been faithful to church. You've been faithful to tithing. You've been faithful in your prayer life. You've been faithful in your study life. But you find yourself at some point in time feeling like you're all alone. And can I tell you something this morning? There's some of you sitting right here, you feel like you're forgot about. You feel like you're all alone, and you feel like, God, if you was really there, why in the world would I be going through this? David asked God these questions. I want to give you some help this morning looking through this scripture. If you'll turn with me to the book of Job, chapter number 23 this morning, we're going to try to move as quickly as we can. I'm going to try to let y'all out early this morning so you can say one time, the preacher beat everybody out. Amen? No, I'm not. I'm going to mind the Lord. But let me say this, Job chapter number 23, I want you to pay attention this morning. The Bible says in verse number 1, then Job answered and said, even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. He says in verse number 2, he said, my complaint's even bitter, Brother Robbie. He said, I've lost everything I've got. And he said, I can't say anything good about what's around me. And he said, it's bitterer today than it was yesterday. And he says, my stroke is heavier than my groaning. He said, oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. Job said, why, God, have you forsaken me? He said, God, if you'll read Job chapter 1, verse number 1, we understand that Job was a man of the land of Uz. That he was a righteous man. That he was a perfect man in all of his ways. We realize that Job was so perfect and so willing of doing God's will, Brother Chuck, that he offered prayers for his children. He offered burnt offerings for his family. He sought God's face. And we find Job in chapter number 23, at Brother Job complaining about the bitterness in his life. And then he says that I might find him. He says, where's he at? He said, the God that I offered to, the God that I praised, he said, the God that I worshiped, where's he at? He said that I might find his seat. I want you to notice what he said. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say to me. Will he plead against me with his great power? No. But he would put strength in me. There the righteous might dispute with him. So should I be delivered forever from my judge. He says in verse number 8, behold, I go forward. But he is not there. And backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him. But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I want to help you real quickly right here this morning. Job says, I walk forward, Brother Troy, and I can't find him. He said, I can turn around and walk back to where we had fellowship, Brother Junior. And he said, I can't find him. He said, I see a work going on my left hand. He said, I walk over there. I can't find him. He said, I looked at my right side where he had hid himself, and he ain't there. He said, oh, what I would do, I had to find the Lord. And notice what Job said earlier in those verses. He said, the righteous would dispute him. Brother Odin, Job had something happen in his life. He remained humble. Can I tell you something this morning? When David cried out, he remained humble. One of the greatest things our church needs in this day and age is to remain humble. Y'all right? Can I help you real quickly this morning? Job said, He is my strength. David said, He is my fortress. David said, He is the horn of my salvation. He is my buckler in whom I trust. David said, He anointed my head with oil. Can I help you this morning? I want you to know something real quickly. Job was looking for God. Job deserved nothing what happened to him. Job was not deserving of anything that came on in his life. But Job had got to this place and he said, My complaint is bitter. And he comes down here and he begins to say, he said, But he knoweth the way that I take. Can I help you real quickly? Just keep going. You all right? This ain't going to be real deep this morning. Well, I'm not going to give you some philosophical statement, but I'm telling you this morning, when you can't find Him, just keep going. When you can't feel Him, just keep going. Hey, when you can't touch Him, just keep going. Hey, might I say to you this morning, it ain't time to sit down on the pew and not do anything. It ain't time to sit down and throw your hands up and say, God, if You love me, I wouldn't be going through this. Hey, Job just said, I'll keep going. I'll keep enduring. I'll keep carrying my cross. I'll keep carrying the burdens of this life. I'll just keep going because He knows where I'm going to be. And Job realized this morning that even in himself that he didn't know what he was going to do. He said, but he knows the way I'm going to take. And he says, oh, Brother Chuck, he says something right there at the end of that verse that just got to me. He said, I shall come forth as gold. Job made a reference to a furnace fire. He said, I'll be tried. He said, I'll be tested. He said, but I'm going to stay faithful. And he says, when I come out on the other side, he said, I'm going to be as gold. He said, I'm going to be precious. He says, I'm going to be... Hey, let me help you right here real quickly this morning. If you're sitting here and you feel like God don't care about you, you're sitting here feeling like David did in Psalms chapter number 10 and verse number 1, and you feel like God's forsook you and pushed off of you, and you feel like you're all by yourself and you're getting ready to give yourself a pity party. Hey, let me tell you something right here. God, in God's thoughts, you're precious this morning. And in God's heart this morning, you're a precious people. You say, preacher, how in the world do you know I'm precious this morning? Hey, he sent his own son to die on an old rugged cross. And Jesus cried out as his reference in Psalms chapter number 22. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey, can I tell you something this morning? Hey, God could not even look on the afflictions of his own son. Hey, could not even imagine, Brother Troy, how what Jesus was enduring on the cross. And God had turned his face. And Jesus had cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Hey, the own Son of God, hey, felt like God had turned his back on him. But Job said, when I come out, I'll be as gold. I want to ask you something. When Jesus appeared, Mary and the disciples, don't you reckon there was something about His countenance? Don't you reckon when they seen that first resurrection, they came to that tomb and they seen He was gone, but they perceived He was a gardener. Brother Gwynn, don't you reckon they looked at Him and He had a whole new look about Him? That He was precious, that He glowed. Can I tell you, it talks about His eyes as a flame of a fire and brass. Can I tell you this morning, I'm glad one day this corrupt is going to put on incorruption. I'm glad that this mortal is going to put on immortality. But Job says, when I come out the other side, can I tell you something real quickly? You're going to come out the other side. Amen. You're going to come out the other side. Notice what he says. He says, my foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is in one mind. And who can turn him in what his soul desireth, even that he doeth? For he hath performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And many such things are with him. Therefore am I troubled at his presence. When I consider, I am afraid of him. For God maketh my heart sore, and the Almighty troubleth me. Because because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. And Job had the understanding, just keep going. Just keep going. David said in Psalms chapter 10, why standest thou afar off, O Lord? He says, why have you left me? Can I tell you this morning, when it feels like God's left you, just keep going. The Bible teaches us in the book of Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 through verse 41. The Bible teaches that Jesus had told him to pass over the other side. And he said that he would went to the hinder part of the ship and he had went to sleep. I heard Brother Zane Fisher referring to this scripture on the radio, but there's something I was curious about, Dad. We have the story of the disciples on the ship. We have the story of Jesus being in the hinder part. And Brother Tommy, in that same scripture, it says there were many little ships. It says that the wind of the sea rose up against them, began to beat on the ship. It says they came down, Brother Troy, and they awoke Jesus. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? It says Jesus arose. Ask him, why are you fearful? He causes the winds to cease. But I got to thinking about something, Dad. What happened to them other little ships? What happened to those other little ships? At that moment in time, all we see, Brother Odin, is the big ship. And all we see is the account, Brother Joe, of the Master being on that ship. Can I tell you something this morning? And I just seen this and this from why God's given it to me. But Brother Ryan, I'm afraid that when a storm comes, there's many that goes a different way. I'm afraid that there's many little ships outside of the big ship. And when the sea arises and begins to beat, and those little ships can't endure it. And the only reason that big ship was still sailing was because the Master was on it. And he got up and he calmed the sea. Can I say this to you this morning? Just because you can't see him, you all right? We're going somewhere. Just because you can't see him. I imagine those disciples, Brother Joe, was out there fighting and driving that ship the best they could. They was on the deck trying to steer it in the right direction, trying to keep it going in the same place. But he wasn't on deck. Brother Junior, it was almost as though he wasn't even on the ship. But he walked up on the deck and he caused the wind to cease. Can I tell you this real quickly? He's still on board. He's still sailing. He's still on the ship. And might I say to you this morning, when he said, let us go on to the other side, when he saved your unworthy soul, he told you, let us go to the other side. And might I say to you, even with Job, even with those disciples in the book of Mark chapter number 4, he was still on board in the midst of a storm. We'll give you this and I'm done. We find that David in chapter 11 of Psalms said, in the Lord put I my trust. He says, I'm going to trust him. Chapter 13, he says, how long will thou forget me, O Lord? I want you to notice this morning. Chapter 14, he says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none doeth good. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of man to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. And chapter number 15, verse number 1, David says, Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? In chapter number 16, David says, preserve me, O God, for in thee do I put my trust. In verse chapter 17, verse number 1, David says, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my prayer, give ear unto my prayer, or attend unto my cry, give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of fine lips. Chapter number 18, David says, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You say, preacher, why did you read that many? We could keep going, just reading the first verse out of every chapter. And you know what I see? I see the human side of David. Every chapter starts off different. Pay attention. This Sunday is not the same, Brother Ty, as last Sunday. I said, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Brother Odin, as God began to burden my heart with this message, I went back last Sunday, was listening to it, editing it, uploading it to the internet, and Brother Joe, there was something that happened. Last Sunday morning, we preached out 2 Timothy chapter number 2. Preached on that God is faithful. Preached on that God is faithful. That He, even when we deny Him, He cannot deny Himself. Preached on that thought. This Sunday morning, Brother Ryan, we're preaching on the thought, where is God? This Sunday is not the same as last Sunday. This Sunday will not be the same as next Sunday. Every day of your life is a new chapter. Y'all right? Every day of your life is a new chapter. Brother Tommy, when you wake up in the morning, you get a whole fresh new start for another day. Y'all right? I was in my living room Saturday morning at 5 o'clock. You said, "Oh, preacher, you got up early on Saturday morning." No, I never went to bed. I worked all day Friday. I came home. We watched a movie, had dinner, put Brooklyn to bed, and it was about 12 o'clock, and Brother Junior, I don't know why I couldn't go to sleep. I was begging to go to sleep, and I couldn't go to sleep. And about every hour, Brooklyn would wake up, and I'd go in there and put her pacifier in, and we'd talk, and I'd rock her and lay her back down, and next hour she'd wake up, Brother Rob, and I was sitting in there in my living room. And you almost want to look up and say, "God, where are you at?" And I was sitting there thinking, I wonder how many in this church is going through a storm, going through problems, fighting something we don't even know about, something raring on the inside, something they're worried about. Brother Robbie, how many people are sitting up at night worried about something they cannot control? Torn all to pieces on something they cannot change. Losing their sleep, losing their mind, worrying because they can't fix something. Wonder how many people setting up at Saturday morning at 5 o'clock in the morning, Brother Odin, crying out and saying, "God, where are you at? God, where are you at? My home, where are you at, God? Lord, you said you'll never leave me nor forsake me. And God, where are you at?" But God reminded me, "I'm still here. I'm still here." He said, it's not always sin that separates us from God, but yet sometimes God is purifying, maturing, and growing us spiritually to make us what He wants us to be.
Amen.
I got to thinking, how many times we're selfish like David and we say, "God, why do you stand so far off? Why do you distance yourself instead of saying, God, make this trial a blessing?" Y'all right? Y'all with me? Y'all okay? God, make this trial a blessing. Jesus said, "Bring all your burdens to Him, for He's meek and lowly." He says, "Bring them to me." He said, "I'll give you rest." Can I say something to you this morning? There's times we need rest. There's times we need peace. And there's some of you that are heavy laden this morning that you just need to step down and say, "God, I know you ain't left me. God, I know you hadn't walked out. God, I know you hadn't separated. I know that just like those disciples on that ship, you're still on board. I just might not be able to see you right now. I might not be able to feel you right now. But Lord, I'm just going to keep pressing forward. Lord, I'm just going to keep marching on. Lord, I'm just going to keep doing what's right. Lord, I'm just going to keep giving you praise. Lord, I'm just going to keep worshiping you. God, I'm just going to keep praying. God, I'm just going to stay faithful." Hey, because I know, as Paul told Timothy, that God abideth faithful and He cannot deny Himself. And Lord, I know you're still near, but I'm just going to keep going on.
Amen.
Some of you need to do that this morning. Some of you just need to say, "You know what? Let the world do what they will. I'm still going to serve God. Let the job do what it is. I'm still going to serve Jesus. Let my family do what they will. I'm still going to cling to the old rugged cross. Let everything do what it's going to do. I'm going to stay with Jesus." Every head bowed and every eye closed. Miss Jody comes this morning. Some of you might need to slip down here in Psalms 18 and verse number 1 and said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. You know, sometimes we gripe and we're bitter and we complain about what we're going through. And sometimes we should just slip around and say, Lord, I love you. Lord, your strength has never failed me. Lord, your burdens have never been too heavy that I cannot carry. And Lord, I love you this morning. Lord, I'm just going to keep pressing on. Lord, I'm just going to keep marching forward. Lord, I'm just going to be what you'd have me to be. Because I know there's a brighter day coming. I know I'm going to come out of this like Job said in chapter number 23. I'm going to come out of this like gold. Lord, I realize that I'm going to walk a street made of pure gold. Lord, that I'm going to put on a body that's not as corrupt as this. So, Lord, I'm just going to push on. Every head bowed and eye closed, we stand to our feet.